हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Page 47, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 13, Five Potent Forms of Devotional Service. 1.2.242. The power of chanting the name of the Lord. Ever since I have heard Narada singing the names of Krishna, which pacify the ears, my heart has become completely blissful, fixed in an unprecedented state of prema. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, there is a statement about hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra. It is said that saints have been able to hear the vibrating strings of the veena in the hands of Narada, who is always singing the glories of Lord Krishna. Now the same sound vibration has entered my ears, and I am always feeling the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gradually, I am becoming bereft of all attachment for material enjoyment. Because as you start to get accustomed to the chanting and start to get notice the transcendental position, then one starts to lose the taste in the material. Because material actually doesn't really have much taste. We're thinking it has, that we're projecting it should have taste. Have we ever seen a situation where, let's say there's some individuals, and let's say one individual has a plan, and, you know, in their mind it's going to be good, it's going to be fabulous and all that. The others are going along with it. But when they actually get there, it's not that great, but they're still trying to somehow or another, you know, in their own mind, how it's okay and it'll be good and, oh, okay, well, we'll do this, we'll do that. And everybody else just knows, forget it, it's not going to work. But they're really, like, determined. That's us. Right? All the sages are telling us, no, it's not going to work. But we're, no, just if we just do this, you know, like that, it'll be okay. Yeah, it's just like, you know, you sit at the table and you take your right hand, pick up the spoon, pick up something, whatever is the preparation, put it in your mouth. It's not good. So you think, okay. Then you switch the spoon to the left hand, then you try it that way. And it's still not good. Okay. Then you get out, you know, your fork, it still is not good. Try the chopsticks, not good. Try just picking it up, the bowl up with your hand and just eating it that way, still not good. Okay, well, what can we do? Maybe we sit in yogasana or we stand on our head. It's not going to change. So that's the thing. The material world has nothing for the soul, but the soul is somehow determined. No, it's got to have something. So here he's pointing out is that once he's tasted the holy name, then he can actually see it doesn't have anything. Before he, you know, there is no alternative. Right? You know, like you said. Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Shita, cool, here refers to the cooling effect of hearing Narada chant the names of the Lord. Material existence has a burning effect with its pain. Hearing the chanting of the names relieves a person of material suffering. Right? That's why it mentions that taking shelter of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he's like millions of moons. Just that cooling, how he can just cool all the material, right? Anxiety. Hearing the chanting of the names relieves a person of material suffering. Vainika refers to Narada, who plays a veena. Not by naming him directly. All devotees of a similar nature are indicated. The extraordinary state, kam avastam, is actually prema. Eva is simply ornamental. Samyati means that the mind, giving up all external objects, becomes completely blissful. Footnote 12. Namakirtana is not only blissful for the singer, but produces bliss in others as well. This example is thus also an example of hearing the names of the Lord. So when it says Vainika, it's referring to Nard, but it doesn't say specifically, so it also means anybody who's chanting. You know, anytime you hear that pure chanting, then it will have that same effect. So then that devotee is now completely just absorbed in this. Okay.
So now this name, Vainika and Samyati, they are from the original Vaikira Samyati Sanyutas?
That he's mentioning here. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. Means if we put, then it would be very big. But it's out of here, I think 20 verses from Nectar Devotion, or from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Srila Prabhupada quotes.
Yes.
So those ones we put the Sanskrit. So that's why you see occasionally there's one, the ones that you know, like Nam and Chintamani Krishna. Those are ones that we know, we've heard, Prabhupada quotes. And so we put the Sanskrit for those, the other ones we haven't. 1.2.243. The power of residing in the district of Mathura. The splendor of Mathura's forest, footnote 13, Mathura refers to Braj as well as the city of Mathura, made beautiful by being situated on the bank of the Jamuna, where buzzing bees take shelter of newly bloomed kadamba trees, ornamented with unlimited sweetness, produces an extraordinary state of bhava in my mind. Srila Prabhupada. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami has described Mathura Mandala. Quote, I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Jamuna River, so beautiful amid the kadamba trees, where many birds are chirping in the gardens. And these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. End quote. This feeling about Mathura Mandala and Vrindavan, described by Rupa Goswami, can actually be felt even by non-devotees. The places in the 84 square mile district of Mathura are so beautifully situated on the banks of the river Jamuna that anyone who goes there will never want to return to this material world. These statements by Rupa Goswami are factually realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan. All these qualities prove that Mathura and Vrindavan are situated transcendentally. Otherwise, there would be no possibility of invoking our transcendental sentiments in these places. Such transcendental feelings are aroused immediately and without fail after one arrives in Mathura or Vrindavan. Like we see when Akrura, when he came there, then these feelings were there, so he got off the chariot, he offered his obeisances. 1.2.244. The inconceivable power of these extraordinary five angas is such that it will manifest the state of bhava and its object, Krishna, at the same time. Right? So by practicing these in sadhana, it will manifest bhava. And in manifesting bhava, then Krishna, who is the focus of that bhava. Because bhava means there's rati, there's attraction. Right? So that means then Krishna then will be manifest at the same time. Because otherwise, where does that bhava go towards? It goes towards Krishna. From the text, one can understand that these five angas are extraordinary. This is confirmed by other verses as well. Concerning the form of the deity, it is said, quote, even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as Agasura did. What then is to be said of those in whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation? Or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord? Who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities and by whom all illusion is completely removed? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.39. Right, so we see Agasura, right? He's seen Krishna. Right, he's sitting there watching and hoping Krishna's going to come in his mouth, and then all the cowherd boys have gone in, nothing's happened. When Krishna goes in and then he starts crowing and then he's choking, he's going to think of Krishna. So we see, so therefore he attained the supreme salvation by Krishna's mercy. Concerning the Bhagavatam, it is said, completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated, right? So religious activities being done to please Krishna, those are accepted. Being done for some material motivation, for karma, jnana, that's what's rejected. So, in other words, if the activity is useful in devotional service, we reject just that attitude. But if the only reason we're performing that activity, that religious what do you call it? Activity, is because of the material benefit, but it's not necessarily we have to do that, then we'll reject the whole activity itself. Right? Now, if we can't connect it, if by performing the religious activity, we can only think of karma and jnana and not think of Krishna, then for some time we may restrict the involvement in that religious activity, unless it's just a regular daily thing that one has to do to maintain oneself. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the brahmachari. He's living in the home. Right? And so, you know, at that time we don't call him a brahmachari because he's living at home. Right? So, then, when he goes to the school, now it's a different environment. Activities are the same. He's still going to have to get up and take his bath and brush his teeth and wash his clothes and do all that kind of stuff. But he doesn't see it in connection with home. Does that make sense? It's the ashram. So then he starts adjusting. Now when someone's adjusted where the activities that they do in the ashram, by going home, they'll still continue those same activities. Now they're qualified to go home. But the problem is now if before that they go home, then they click into it's home, I don't need to do these things. Because home means, you know, the material facility. Then that means they're not ready for home. Right? So that's why you see in the Vedic tradition, there is no vacation. You go for your 12 years, and then at the end of 12 years, then you graduate and go home. Because then you will have learned. Right? So that makes sense? So that's why, you know, in the modern context, we have to have short timings. Because otherwise, they just click back into this. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the difficulty. So, like that, if it's a situation by going there, you'll just have, you know, by walking down a certain street, then, you know, in your mind is all set, don't walk down that street, walk down the next street over there. You never think of anything. Maybe boring, but boring is better. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Concerning Bhagavatam, it is said, those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss, in other words, transcendental bliss comes from Krishna, and transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. So it's by his potency that illusion is there, it's by his potency it's removed. He is the cause of bliss for all living entities. Right? So now that can either be that so-called material happiness, or it can be transcendental. Concerning the Bhagavatam, it is said, completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. Right? The highest truth means it's about Krishna. Right? If we're still going on, no, we have to know the truth, we want it like this, a meaning about the facts of things like that, then we're not on this highest position of, or the fully pure in heart. Because truth means how it relates to Krishna, or how it doesn't relate to Krishna. Right? That's truth. Other things are just facts. You know? This rug is kind of reddish brown. Now, how does that improve our Krishna consciousness? You know, no, but I want the truth. Does it not have red lines in it? Yes, it does have red lines. But you're not saying it has red lines in it. But it also has black squares in it and all that. Yeah, but what about the gray ones? What about the red? But where is Krishna in this? So that's the whole point. That's why it completely rejects all these things. And those who have pure heart, they'll appreciate it. So as we get purified, we start to see, we appreciate the message of Bhagavatam more and more. Right? In the beginning, it's nice. That's the whole thing. It's nice. That's what I said. It's attractive for everyone. But as we go, then it gets more and more attractive. That's the point of Krishna. He's always attractive to everyone. Even we see him at times, he comes out, the demons who come to fight him and kill him, they're even attracted and think he looks so good. And then they start fighting. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Right? So when you tell what is illusion and what's reality, right? That is the highest truth. That's what's the benefit for all. So that means what is Krishna conscious, what's not. That's the highest truth. That removes illusion. That is the highest welfare. All other things, they're just temporary. They'll go away. They're not actually so. Such truth uproots the threefold misery. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? Right? Because we saw before when Jiva Goswami is explaining in the Sandarbha, literally, there is no need for any other scripture. But you have Bhagavatam, then you have the information. So we see it as Bhagavad Gita as giving the ABCs so that you can appreciate what's in Bhagavatam. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita being a postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is a speaker of the Bhagavad. So how he lived his life, how his devotees lived their lives, centered around Bhagavatam. That's it. Okay, it's sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2. Concerning association with the devotee of the Lord, it is said, when the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. Moreover, when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.51.53. Concerning chanting the name of the Lord, it is said, the chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, quote, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection, end quote. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.10. Concerning residing in Mathura, district, it has been said, one achieves the highest bliss just by touching Mathura. Verse 2.12 of this chapter, quoted from Brahmanda Purana. So that's Mathura, the name, the devotees, the Bhagavatam. Yeah, so then you can see all these five are important. So Krishna, Bhagavatam, so he's in this one purport. So we see also Prabhupada sometimes then we'll let a few verses go by and then give a purport that deals with all of them. So we see here Jiva Goswami does similar. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Bhava and the Vishaya Bhava, Krishna, Tad Vishayam, appear at the same time, Saha Eva, right? Because Bhava, where is that Bhava directed? That's Krishna. So then, therefore, the Bhava and Krishna, who is where the Bhava is directed, appear at the same time. 1.2.245. In some of the verses quoted from the scriptures, material results are attributed to the angas for attracting persons possessing material consciousness. However, the main result of these angas is rati, bhava. So sometimes just it attracts attention and all these things, so we get into those, but it's connected to Krishna, so we make advancement. That's the difference, is that we see in the Vedic method, that slow path, is that they're trying to connect you to, means ideally to Vishnu, because it's mentioned, but at least the activities that are favorable to serving Vishnu and the devotees. Mm-hmm. Right? So then one performs those activities, though one doesn't know it's bhakti. One is just engaged in them, but because one doesn't know and one doesn't, that's not the intent, you don't get the benefit of it being called bhakti. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? Srila Prabhupada. In these statements about devotional service, sometimes it may appear that the results have been overestimated. But actually, there is no overestimation. Some devotees, as revealed scriptures give evidence, have had immense results by such association. Although this is not possible for all. For example, the Kumaras immediately became devotees simply by smelling the incense in the temple. Bilva Mangal Thakur simply heard about Krishna and then immediately gave up his beautiful girlfriend and started out for Mathura and Vrindavan, where he became a perfect Vaishnava. So these statements are not overestimations, nor are they stories. They are actual facts, but are true for certain devotees and not necessarily apply to all. These descriptions, even if considered overestimations, must be taken as they are, in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for a person who is already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. So you see, is that slow path is bringing you there by mentioning these things, but then in devotional service, then it takes you a step further. Right? So for the one, is the one may see the secondary. And then for the other, you see that primary, but you're seeing all the benefits you'll get, the secondary benefits. But in connection with the primary. The other ones, you're just seeing the secondary benefits, you don't care about the primary. But the point is that they're not unusual, these great effects, for someone who's nicely situated. So therefore, how Bilva Manga can give things up for these advanced devotees, that's not uncommon. That's standard. Does that make sense? But because the example is given in Bilva Mangal, you don't need to give it anywhere else, unless it's somehow or another quite prominent in that particular pastime. Right? Somebody says, in other words, if a guy during a storm, this raging storm, is willing to cross a river that's flooded and, you know, the waves and everything that's crazy, and he does it on a dead body, without knowing, he thinks it's a log of wood, you know, a tree trunk. And then getting to the other side, then he climbs up the balcony to her room, thinking he's climbing up vines, but he's climbing up snakes. Then you have to accept she must be quite beautiful, right? Otherwise, why would he be doing this? And so he, by hearing only, he didn't have a bad experience. He just heard about the glories of Krishna and the holy name. And he gave all that up and took up devotional service. So, that's a serious example. Right? You know? So that's then what's given. So, but for it says here, for a person who's already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. You just think, yes, these are our acharyas. Srila Jiva Goswami. The main result can be understood from the following verse. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udada dhi. Tivrena bhakti yogena rajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or as after liberation, one should, with all efforts, try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with intense devotion, bhava. Right, so that's the whole point. Whatever it is that your position, whether you're into going to the heavenly planets, whether you're liberated, whether you're interested in yogic city, the point is, worship the Supreme Lord with intense devotion. That will get you all benefits. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. Right? So he does it in such a way that you won't keep asking. He'll fulfill the desire, but in such a way that that desire goes away.
But only for devotees.
No, non-devotee is just according to their karma. They deserve it, they get it, yes. And if they don't deserve it, they don't get it. Or if they deserve it, how much karma they have, how much they deserve of that, then they'll get that much.
Yes.
However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it. And that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.27. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.20. However, for those persons with material inclinations, material results are mentioned. For the real devotees, rati is the result. Right? Because from sadhana you get bhava, rati. That's the result that we're looking for. Others may look for these other results. That's why you see, like in the Kadasamyahatmya, it mentions all kinds of material benefits. Because otherwise, then people might not be inclined to follow that. Right? But for one's more serious, then it's development of rati, that's what is inspiring. So therefore, one's following a codicy because it pleases the Lord. Not because by following that codicy, then, you know, like that you'll gain a kingdom or, you know, whatever is the specific vrata of that particular codicy. Oh, and today's codicy, right? Yes, yes. I'm not sure what's the particular benefit.
No?
Huh? Krishna Prema, okay. Then that's, we'll take that one. We'll go with that. Okay. For the real devotees, rati is the result, because rati is produced simply by hearing about the qualities of the Lord. Even though this worship is easy, it produces results that cannot be attained by other processes. Right? Other processes are very technical and complicated. But they can't give the result that bhakti can, which is so easy, just hearing and chanting about the Lord and the association of devotees. Therefore, bhava or rati is the main result of practicing the angas of bhakti. Though the result of sadhana bhakti is bhava, that bhava or rati also has many varieties according to which of the many forms of the amshi, Krishna, the person is worshipping. Right, so depending on who you're worshipping, then that bhava will take on those particular moods. Right? Does that make sense? Someone's worshipping in Vaikuntha, it'll take on that mood. Someone's worshipping in Dwarka, that mood. Someone's in Vrindavan, and that mood. So like that. 1.2.246. The consensus of those knowledgeable of bhakti is that karma, varnashram duties, is not an unga of bhakti. Right? It's mentioned, and it's always, many times you see it's mentioned in line with bhakti and all that, but that's just because you're going to perform an activity. So varnashrams are natural activities in the social, you know, environment that you'll be functioning in. Right? It defines how people will work and interact together. It defines relationships. But it's not the varnashram that's bhakti. It's not an unga of bhakti. It's just being engaged. You know, just like a knife is not an unga of cooking. But it's engaged. It's useful. Does that make sense? You know, but you can cook the thing whole. No? Yeah? Remember once the friend really liked deep fried cauliflower. You go on and on and on and on, you know, to the point where you think, okay. So then I found some cauliflowers. You know, cut the, you know, you take the bottom off, that the big stump like that, and then what stem is there, I cut it, you know, and I've made a cross. And then I slightly, how you say, parboiled it, then I deep fried it, so it's whole.
Yeah.
And then when it was done, then I put that on his plate. Then he stopped talking about deep fried cauliflower. So... yes, you can cook it whole. Right? Or aloo dum, they do just whole potatoes, like that. So. Some scholars argue that simply by following the principle of varna ashram, one can gradually rise to the perfections reached by practicing devotional service. But this argument is not accepted by the great authorities. Right? So varna ashram itself won't get you there, because remember, is bhakti is written into the Vedic system. Not that the Vedic system itself means these religious activities, that they're the one generating bhakti. No, bhakti is written into them. The reason that the activity is called religious and it's uplifting and it's pious is because of the devotional elements within it. Okay. Lord Chaitanya also condemned this idea while he was talking with Ramananda Roy about the gradual development of devotional service. Right? Doesn't mean you don't follow varna ashram, but it's not that the varna ashram itself is what's going to produce bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? Now, if you say, okay, varna ashram has been rejected here by Lord Chaitanya in his discussion with Ramananda Rai. Okay, fine. But then that means then you'd be like Haridas Thakur, who just sits down and chants all day and wanders around. Doesn't have any fixed residence, doesn't have any occupation, just chants. And whatever Krishna sends, that's what how he maintains himself. And that's it. But if we're going to reject varna ashram, saying Lord Chaitanya rejected with Ramananda Roy, and then we're going to follow modern culture, then I kind of think if you throw out varna ashram and include, if you say you know you're not taking 100 rupees, means you're not taking 10 rupees either, you know, or in this case 10 pice. He rejected the idea of the importance of varna ashram when it was put forward by Ramananda Rai, because he put it forward, how do we develop this, you know, what is this highest perfection? So he put forward the varna ashram because some do. So in other words, what others would consider a topmost thing, he started with that on the bottom. So it's rejected. That means everything below that's already rejected. Because in Vaikuntha, then they're going. That's that form of varnashram is very important in their worship. In majesty, then varnashram is very important. So then they'll put that. But for us, it's not. And it's not actually that's what's making it work, because even for Vaikuntha, it's still the devotion to the Lord. But they'll see that varna in connection with that, because that's the activities they'll do. Mm-hmm. But for in Braj, it's there, they have varna ashram, but it's only in support of the devotional activities. It's not that the varna ashram itself is the devotional service. Right? You know, same in Vaikuntha, it's just that it takes on less, you know, there's no aspects of the majesty. No. He said that this advancement of varna ashram is merely external. That it maintains the body and all that. You advance, but only the body and mind, right? There is a higher principle. In Bhagavad Gita 18:66, right? So this is the number to remember, not 1066, right? Yeah, much more benefit, right? Also, the Lord says that one has to give up all other principles of elevation and simply take to the method of Krishna consciousness. That will help one achieving the highest perfection of life, right? So you're only doing devotional service. You're not practicing varna ashram or yoga or other things that's going to elevate you. You just practice bhakti. Is that the cat again?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's okay. Oh, you're going to turn off the water?
Yeah.
Okay. Śrīla Viṣṇuna Cakravarti Thakura. Someone may argue as follows. True, there is a glorification of all the angas of pure bhakti above all other processes. But Parasara has glorified karma as well. Quote, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is to be worshipped by man through the duties of varna ashram. There is no other path for satisfying the Lord. Vishnu Purana 3:8-9. This Vishnu Purana verse substantiates that karma is an anga of bhakti. For in that verse, there is evident approval for worshipping Vishnu in combination with varna ashram activities. However, the author states that the consensus, samatam, of those thoroughly experienced in bhakti, the pure devotees, including even Parasara, is otherwise. Parasara has also said, O Maitreya, King Bharata simply said, O Master of Sacrifice, O Achyuta, Govinda, Madhava, Ananta, Keshava, Krishna, Vishnu, Hrishikesha. He said nothing else, even in his dreams. Vishnu Purana 2:13-10. Thus, the statement quoted from Vishnu Purana that approves Varnashram as bhakti has been spoken only to encourage those persons who are not qualified for pure bhakti. Right? In other words, if it's mixed devotional service, then better you use Varnashram as the mix rather than something that's not Veda. Right? That's all. Does that make sense?
Now, in the Veda, there are also quotes for encouraging people to advance.
To advance. Yeah, the point is, you follow Varnashram, you will advance, but only externally. But because you're advancing, then the concept of moving forward is there, that you'll accept moving forward spiritually. But it itself won't move one forward spiritually. Right? So does that make sense? So is to be worshipped by man through the duties of Varnashram, right? There's no other path for satisfying the Lord, right? So the Lord is pleased that you're engaging Varnashram duties in His service.
Yes.
You turned it off, or? Oh, so this is just what's left. Okay. Right? But we notice here it says to be worshipped by man.
Yes.
Man has duties in Varnashram. The soul doesn't. So as long as you're identifying as man, then engaging Varnashram in the Lord's service is useful. But as soon as one's identifying as a devotee, then it's not as important.
Yes. Yes.
So it says we're not qualified for pure bhakti, so there's mixed devotional service. So that's why then we use it. We see in the beginning, Prabhupada he had introduced Varnashram, but only just enough to make it work as a social system. And then as time goes, then he saw that devotees were maintaining material desire, weren't able to move beyond many. So therefore, by the introduction of Varnashram, you could engage that in Lord's service. Right? So then if that's the case, if you have material desire, then you'll use Varnashram. If you don't have material desire, then you'll only see it as bhakti, what you're doing. But if we don't see it as bhakti and we give up Varnashram or don't accept Varnashram, then the position is weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense? 1.2.247. In the 11th canto, it is explained. Once you continue to perform the daily and periodic Varnashram activities, until one actually becomes detached from material sense gratification and develops faith for hearing and chanting about me. Right? Because, see, if one's attached to sense gratification, sense gratification comes from what? Kama comes from what? Means what's the prerequisite for kama? Artha. And artha comes from? Dharma. Right? So if you're attached to kama, you have to perform dharma. In this case. So that's the external aspect of it. You know, and when one doesn't have, then one does not need to do those things. You know, it means the situation is favorable. You stay in that situation and perform your service. So you may still be performing duties of Varnashram, but you're not doing it because you yourself have the need for it. It's just the situation works in Krishna consciousness. Something. The duties are there, you know, everybody works nicely together, it works nicely.
Can we show you that after kama it is moksha, but after having been not satisfied with kama, so there is a moksha the next step, but it can be also moksha in personal or moksha with bhakti?
It's just a matter of how you're applying it. If the devotee is applying dharma in his devotional service, then that moksha will be with bhakti. But if a non-devotee is applying dharma, then that moksha will be without bhakti.
Yeah.
Right? Because the devotee engages the Varnashram and Krishna service, that will give the artha and give the kama.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes when sometimes it's difficult to have a good start.
A good start.
Yes.
How do you call a good start?
It's a good dharma.
Good dharma.
Real dharma. So, but after being in archive, crying is not working so much.
No.
Kama, crying is not working so much.
Right.
So, next step is moksha. You have to get free from this.
Yes, you get free, but unless you come in contact with the devotees,
yes,
that moksha won't be in line with transcendental.
Yes, yes.
It'll just be getting free from the material misery.
But in association of devotee,
then it can shift. It becomes perfect. It means the situation is good. It becomes perfect when their goal is pure bhakti,
yes,
not liberation.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because whatever the position, whether one's attached to karma or one's attached to jnana, you engage it in the Lord's service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense? On the material platform, you say moksha is superior.
Mm-hmm.
But on the superior, on the spiritual platform, they're both material, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. For the devotee, it doesn't matter. What is your position? Because both of them are attachment.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, someone's attached to having everything, someone else is attached to having nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because everything means I have the options for sense gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And for the one who's renounced, anything means trouble. If you have anything, it gives you trouble. They want nothing.
Mm-hmm. No responsibility.
Yeah, there's no responsibility. It's just but they're willing to live the austere lifestyle. You know, the one who takes no responsibility but wants to live the lifestyle of karma. Now that's how you say? Yes, that quasi-ashram is not recommended, right? You know, how you say? In other words, the 40-year-old unmarried lawyer driving a Porsche who lives at home with his mom.
Yeah.
That one. Right?
We call that the fifth ashram.
Yeah. The fifth ashram. Yeah, because just because it's they're not taking, so that they're taking responsibility in their work, that's why he's doing good and everything like that. So, but then you have to extend that to include ashram.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to extend that it's about the Lord. Now, if you can just get them to just give to the Lord and then just go from there,
mm-hmm,
then that works. That's the point, is that if they're willing to take up devotional service, you'll start from wherever they are and just go into devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's useful to engage, you do, and what's not, then you'll adjust.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not so much, then you start a little slower and engage to see if they're rightly situated and move forward and everything like that. And, you know what I'm saying? So it just means things are delayed. They're doing things at 40 that they should have been doing at 20. Right? So then, you know, then according to Shastra, then I would say, then you know, as the Shastra recommends, when you get to the age of 70, then you should take Vanaprastha, right? You know. Yeah, so that's the problem that it means. Because if you start at 40, then everything gets pushed back, right? You know, that's the whole point. So that's why it has a recommendation of what's done at what time. It works very easily. But otherwise, you start later, you end later. As long as all's well that ends well, as long as it does, but if something goes wrong in between, then you got a problem. Right? It means, in other words, If it goes nicely and then you can move forward in that, then it'll still work. It's later, it'll be more trouble like that, but it'll work. But otherwise, then let's say you have someone and they have a lot of, let's say, physical difficulty before they're able to come to that position.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if at 50 they've already moved on to Vanaprastha,
mm-hmm,
their options are very less. So they're basically going to take shelter of the Lord and whatever simple situation they have. They'll adjust. And so they'll still move forward. But now, if that happens before, and they're still in grihastha life, now they're going to fall into depending more on the family. And they're not going to be able to move forward into that vanaprastha. That's what we see the example in the Bhagavatam. The guy's laying on the deathbed, all the family, everyone's around, everyone's lamenting and all that, but they're just wondering how long is the guy going to hang on for. Can't the guy just go? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to push, like with us now.
Yeah, yeah. No, you see that a lot in European history. Generally, it takes the form of a pillow. Right? That's the popular one in at least the Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Presentations of these family situations on helping others in the family move on. Like that. In other words, the prescribed forms of varna and ashram are ritualistic ceremonies of religion intended for economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. All these things are recommended for persons who have not developed Krishna consciousness. In fact, all such activities are recommended in the revealed scriptures only to bring one to the point of Krishna consciousness. But one who has already developed spontaneous attachment to Krishna does not require to execute the devotees prescribed in the scriptures. Right? They only prescribe the duties prescribed, like here, in nectar devotion. And we see Prabhupada and the Acharyas and the purports, what they recommend. So we're dealing with that. So that's the range that we use of it. Because generally speaking, when devotees are disturbed or thinking that following varnashram is too difficult or fanatic, they're only talking about the points that have been recommended by Prabhupada and the Acharyas. Because who is complaining has read Manu Samhita and is therefore picking out verses from there and then saying, oh, this is too difficult. Right? Does that make sense? Prabhupada gives one thing. Manu gives about 10. You know? I mean, it's like there's one chapter on cleanliness. The whole chapter is all the millions of things and the ways of dealing with it and what is clean and what's not clean. And Prabhupada just said, you know, before the puja, just, you know, do the achman or wash your hands before you cook or wash your hands after you go in the bathroom. You know, stuff like that. Does that make sense? There it is. Where is that? Look at all these hairs coming off of here. Ew. That's the reason you don't use something like this in the deity room. His hairs come out, you know, and get in the puja, and Krishna doesn't like that. You know, so in the deity room, if you do use wool, you have to use something very fine. So you don't get that.
What
is the material? It's wool. It's felt. You've taken wool and just, you've just pound it together until it sticks. Because on wool, I don't think you can do it with cashmere. You can do it with, it's like merino wool, just standard wools. The hairs have little barbs on them. So if you take the hairs and you have a big, you know, like let's say something that's, I don't know, like, yeah, 5-6 centimeters thick. They put it under a board and press it and beat it and do all kinds of stuff. All the hairs, the little barbs, connect into each other until they don't come apart. And that's called felt. You know? And you make things out of it, they make hats out of it, this, that, and so many things, you know, some of that. So this is like a handmade felt for sitting on. So the ends they didn't do that with, they just left it for decoration. So the ends fall out. The middle part then is, I think it must be a traditional, I think it's from Sweden. So the Vikings used to sit on this, right?
Maybe you can
train a tiger. Also, yeah. But here, because this wool is fireproof and all that, and you know, because they're dragons, so they're fireproof. Yeah, it all works together. Yeah. Does that make sense? So what it says, does not require to execute the duties prescribed in scriptures. That doesn't mean nectar devotion. It means the Vedic literatures that are prescribing varnashram. Yeah. That's what it means. Yeah. Not that, oh, see, we don't have to follow this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Sanyatai Gaura Prabhupada.